Today, if you heard the stories of Prepper Pete, Radio Rick, and Survivalist Sam, then you're going to want to sit crisscross applesauce and listen with both ears tonight, next on Live Free and Ham. Well, hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our weekly show where we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. And we're thrilled to have you here, whether you're a regular listener or tuning in for the first time. And we appreciate you. And thanks for joining us for tonight's episode. So let's get into our show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-host tonight.
Just the one. It's Paul, N1OG.
Yep. And Todd is on special assignment for work. He's busy, down in Arkansas again, hopefully potoing his heart out. We'll see if he does make an appearance. He said he might, but, we're not holding our breath because we know he's having some fun down there. But we have a special guest, and we're glad to introduce him. Go ahead.
That's you.
That's it. Is that the introduction?
that's your short, brief introduction.
From the great beyond of Opelika, Alabama, which Johnny Cash has been here, he's been everywhere, man. My name is Kermit Jones, and it's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate you guys having me on, and
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to dive more into that in a bit, but we always like to just kind of get some of the semantics out of our way. So as always, you can always head over to our storefront at livefreeandham.com/shop and check out all the merch. You know, don't miss out on grabbing your exclusive Live Free and Ham branded glass. We have had a bunch of guys and gals all pick those up. So they're falling off the shelves very quickly. And once they're gone, they're gone. And so, you know, if you want to get your uniquely branded whiskey, bourbon, and scotch dram there with a Live Free and Ham logos on it, head over to the store and pick one up for yourself. And we'd always like to thank everybody who's purchased from our shop because, you know, you guys help us continue this mission. We continue to, work tirelessly and, every little bit that you guys purchase on the store and you wear proudly that we see at Hamfest and other shows and everywhere on the internet that, you guys are helping us continue to further this along. And so we'd like to thank you guys. And so this week we actually had recently Derek P. He picked up one of our whiskey glasses. So good job for you, Derek, man. I'm hoping you're enjoying it. It's coming your way. And he's also picked up a bunch of our hammies. And those that might not know, if you go to gethammed.com and you check that site out, you can find out more about that. But ultimately, quickly, it's sort of like the ducks for jeepers, but way better and way cooler. So if you see a ham that's got antennas on his car or her car, you can now place a little hammy guide there with a little token on the bottom that says you got hammed with your call sign written on it. And it gives them the web address so they can learn a little bit more. And it's kind of a cool way just to be able to help out and promote the hobby and just say to people, hey, I recognize your cool antennas on your vehicle, even though you might have 15 antennas. But hey, who's counting? And, there's love everywhere we go, no matter how many antennas you got on your truck. So with that, we always love feedback. And so we've got a couple of ways to contact us. You can always reach out via SMS. There's that link in every one of our show notes that you just click on and you can send us quick text directly from any one of our episodes and tell us how we're doing. Give us a review. Tell us that our car, warranties have expired. We need to pick up better ham radios. That Yaesu's better than Team ICOM. I don't know. You tell us. You let us know. Share it with us, and we'll make sure we share it on the old episode. You can always leave us a voicemail. This has been something that we're super excited about, and we've decided to open up the lines. You can call us now and share your deepest thoughts, express your devoted love for the show, or remember to remind us that, RHF warranties have already expired on, all of our radios, and we need to go get those cleared up. So that number is 978-233-1142. And as Paul says at the bottom, call us for a good time. what better? So we're waiting. Nobody's standing by. But Will, you can leave us a voicemail and we will play that voicemail next episode there. Maybe you're the old type and you'd like to just send us an email. Well, we still offer that. And you can send us an email at livefreeandham@gmail.com. So what you're waiting for? Send us your review, share a little bit about, how great we are or, how bad we are. I don't care. We all want to know. Paul wants to read them all. I want to listen to them all. I'm looking forward to it. Well, with that, as every month, we've got a live stream. This is our one extra bonus episode of every month. We do a live stream. Sometimes it's a regular, you know, episode. Sometimes we have a guest on. Sometimes we just invite the whole crew on and we just, you know, laugh it up and have some fun. But it's always a surprise to us because we never really know when we're going to do it. So, you know, the only way you can be in the loop is to basically become a subscriber of our YouTube channel there. Make sure you also tag that bell. That way you'll get notified when we go live and you can come be part of the action, because I guarantee it. Paul, you would admit we always have fun, right?
No, it's never a good time.
It's like a library, right? Whatever. Cool. Well, and you know, you never know. We always invite all of our guests on because they're honorary members of our club. So you might see Kermit again. You know, that'd be really cool. So here's our last little secret that we always like to tell folks, that if you want to be in the know and you want to be one of the cool kids, you know, you can head over to our Patreon page. You know, that link is over on livefreeandham.com. And if you become a subscriber, guess what you get? You get early access to all of our shows. You get the uncut, unedited version. So all of our flub-ups, all of our F-bombs, everything in between, all of our banter that we talk around in the background, you get to hear it all and get to be part of the in crowd. So, you know, with that, you get that, and you get a buttload of other stuff like early releases when we do shirts, new shirt rollouts and sticker packs and, you know, glasses. I mean, the sky's the limit. And so if you come become a member, you won't be disappointed. I guarantee it. And, you know, we'd love to have you guys be a part of that. So head on over to our Patreon site and you can find that link over at livefreeandham.com. All right. Well, with that, I think we are going to skip over our mailbag episode tonight because got nothing in the mailbag this time, Paul. And I think you confirmed that, correct?
All right. He's shaking his head. Nothing in the mailbag.
That's a bummer. Well, so that just once again encourages you people sitting in front of your freaking computers and listen on the podcast to just hit that SMS button and send us something. Come on. What are you waiting for? We dare you. Come on. Bring it on. Anyway. So
double dog dare you.
Yeah, totally. All right. So with that, we're going to just dive right into our next one, if I can even get the buttons right, because, you know, hey, it's a weird night.
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Good. Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
Yes, it is. Well, we all aspire to do good in ham radio. I don't know about you, but I always enjoy hearing about the awesome stuff. So whether Paul's a so-so guy, so we'll swing him over to the good side. But anyway, so whether you're assisting maybe in a disaster or providing communications for that road race or doing a POTA meetup, you know, I've been hearing more and more people wanting to do stuff like that. So this is your encouragement to get out and do that and then let us know you've done it. You know, but we all love to participate in some ham radio type activities. So this week, I think we've got one in the bucket. You know, Paul, do we have anything coming from Winlink? You know, do we have a special Winlink?
I do have a special Winlink.
Ooh. All right. Well,
would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would love to hear it. I am all ears.
All right. Well, so clearly, this listener does not pay attention because they addressed the Winlink to myself, Todd, and you.
Okay.
and I know your Winlink doesn't work, and nope. I'm willing to bet Todd's probably doesn't work either.
He doesn't have one at all.
However, mine does work, and so I did get it. And so the subject is a do-good Winlink email. And here he writes, "Dear Paul, Eric, and Todd, I thought I would write a do-good email to you and see if I could come on the podcast again. I will tell you, this week I did a STEM outreach at the University of New Hampshire for the Granite State Amateur Radio Association. It was the 4-H Club's Science Bonanza, and it was a lot of fun. Kim, Ralph, and Brian and I set up a nice display of amateur radio items and answered questions and had hands-on experience for the kids and parents who were attending. I set up my Learn Your Name in Morse code station and taught a bunch of kids how to tap their names out on a street key. I made them all a name tag and used the time to explain to them what CW was and what fun and beneficial things were all about it. P.S. I know Todd is still a general, but so am I. I promise I won't be a bossy pants, and I will let Eric be the bossy pants, and Paul can make sound effects. Anyway, I hope you let me come on. 73, your biggest fan and most cheering supporter, Tim, KC1 QDK.
Well, Tim,
emotional damage.
No. Anyway, no, that was awesome. Good job, Tim.
Oh, man, I always love when people send us stuff and they're doing things outreach wise with kids. It's an interesting little tidbit that I heard recently, and I believe there's some truth to it. Yes. But if we can plant the seeds in young minds, they'll learn a little bit about ham radio until probably about their early teens, and then they'll take a break away from it, and then hopefully, if the seeds were planted well enough, once they're in their late 20s, they'll come back to the hobby, and we'll gain a bunch of new hams.
Yep.
So I think it's important that we plant those seeds, because you never know, someday those seeds might grow into a fantastic ham.
Sounds like you're writing a book.
He's journaling.
I do not like them, Sam. I am.
Sounds like another bestseller there. What do you think, Kermit?
Yeah, I think we can work with that one. The journey of the ham.
The lonely ham makes a friend. All right. Well, that Tim, has earned you a coveted spot to our live stream. So we'll reach out to you, Tim, and we'll get you roped in there and have you come on our next live stream and come hang out with us. As always, Tim, we love Tim. Tim's a great friend of ours, and he's been on the show several times. So, it's always good to have him on. He always makes that ham radio experience that much better. If you ever want a guy that has done everything in ham radio, he's the only guy that I know on this planet that's done almost just about everything in ham radio. And if not, he's working on it right now. So. Okay. Well, like I said, with this, if you've been, sharing your first ham radio experience with a total stranger while you're activating a park, teaching a student, a family member, or a neighbor about the joys of ham radio, or you got to demonstrate to a new technician the thrills of HF at your club's field day, we want to hear about it. Come on. We want to share the love. Keep it coming. So, there are three easy ways to share with that. You can always leave us a voicemail at 978-233-1142. You can head over to livefreeandham.com/do good, all one word, and take our form and fill it all out and get that over to us, and we'll gladly read it. Or you can be as, type A as Tim is and several others. You can send N10G and a Winlink email with your whole entire description of the event. And we'll, like I said, if you want to come on to our live stream, you can definitely do that. Otherwise, we appreciate you submitting that, and look forward to you guys sharing your experiences in the future. So, we're sad tonight. Todd has not made an appearance. He, like I said, he is on remote location at the moment, podoing in Arkansas. He said he might join us, so he might make an appearance a little later. So, tonight, we are taking a break from his extra studies. I don't know whether that's going to hurt him or whether that's going to help him, but we'll see. I mean, he's so far, I recall, Paul, he's literally been 3 for 3 almost every week, right, so far?
Yeah, and we're all the way up to sub-element number 6. So Okay. That means he's only got 4 left to go.
Ooh. So, and last time I talked to him, after we had Richard on from Signal Stuff, he took his advice and started learning some of the pre-questions there and starting backfilling and making a change to his study process. And he's reported to me saying that he's impressed. The questions he's starting to see more are helping him, and he's starting to learn better. So with that, we always say with the ham study is that, if you're on the journey of studying for your technician general extra class license, in that case, hamstudy.org is an awesome resource. We, for getting your ticket, and you can learn more by heading over to hamstudy.org, pulling the app down. And because you may or may not know, they are also the guys who create the exam tools and Signal Stuff. Both of those companies Both of those businesses are a huge support to the ham radio community. They help a lot of VEs with testing sessions, but at the same time, you can help support them by heading over to Signal Stuff or Signal Stick and check them out and buy some of their merch there, because that in turn helps them continue to promote hamstudy.org and continue to keep it free, but it continue to obviously make a great tool that we all appreciate and use, especially in our studying journey to get to our extra, or get your technician for the first time, or maybe you're studying for a general.
Hey, so, Eric.
Yeah.
I got a quick shout out here.
Oh.
So Chris, Kilo Delta 9 Yankee Sierra Whiskey, KD9YSW, just recently upgraded to general. And so wanted to give him a shout out and say congratulations on your upgrade.
Awesome. Oh, he needs now, an audio clip.
Definitely. Get to studying.
Yeah, no doubt. So that deserves a totally. And oh my gosh, my audio files are all messed up. So forget that. That was going to be a great job. Anyway, maybe you got something in the background there, Todd. Paul, you can cover my butt for. But yeah, that's awesome. So just like Paul said, if you're studying for your technician general or your extra class license and you've passed your test, you can send us a quick email over at livefreeandham@gmail.com, and we're going to celebrate with you, and we're going to, give you a shout out for all the hard work you've done. And, we want to share in the oh my gosh, holy moly. Well, wait a minute, sirs. We've got just perfect timing. We could dive into the testing. What? Do we want to? He thought he missed it.
I just got out of dinner. Are we at the testing part?
Yeah, we are literally at the we were about to skip over the testing part. We were wrapping it up here, my friend. But
if you want to do it, I'm here. Let's go.
All right. Okay. Well, you heard it here, folks. You guys get to witness this back in action. All right. Let's go. So we'll kick it off with a proper introduction here. So without any further delay, I'll hand it over to the VE Quizmaster. Take it away, Paul.
Let me jockey us around. There is question number one from sub-element number six, Todd. Your first question of the evening. What happens when the level of a comparator's input signal crosses the threshold voltage? Is it A, the feedback loop becomes unstable? B, the comparator changes its output state? C, the IC input can be damaged? Or D, the reference level appears at the output?
Ooh. All right, I got the music back in here.
Todd can't think without the music.
Yeah. All right, let me read this one.
Oop. We've got some audio issues, my friend. What if you can sign your letter, please? Give us CW Morse code. How's the internet? No, yeah, you're muted now. Oh, this is gonna be a tougher one than we thought.
All right, you got it. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
There you go.
A.
All right, Todd says A. Is incorrect. Eric?
I'm going to go with C. Oh,
C is also B, incorrect.
Let me guess, it was B.
The correct answer is B. The comparator changes its output state.
All right. Well, oh well.
Yeah, so just to explain, a comparator does a greater than, less than test on two voltages, one of which is fixed voltage reference. When the input signal crosses over the threshold, the output goes too high. When it crosses below the threshold, the output goes too low. Thus, the comparator changes its output state. There you go.
There we go. Okay. Well, one wrong so far.
All right. Question number two. What causes a junction diode to fail from excessive current? Is it A, insufficient forward voltage, B, charge carrier depletion, C, excessive junction temperature, or is it D, excessive inverse voltage?
I'm going to go with C.
I'm an A.
Kermit, you want to weigh in on this?
I should probably pass.
All right. Todd said C. And yeah. C is correct.
Great job.
Nice job. Recovery. But you know what that means. If you've been with the show for long enough, you know where that one's going. This might be a plane crash.
Let the smoke
out. Here's your silly hint. Both the question and the correct answer contain the word junction.
Yeah.
That's what I figured, but I thought that was a play.
Sometimes the most obvious answer is the right one.
Very true.
All right, Todd, for the third and final question of the evening, what is the most common input and output impedance of an MMIC? Is it A, 50 ohms, B, 450 ohms, C, 300 ohms, or D, 75 ohms?
I'm going to go with A.
I'm going to go with C.
I'm going with A.
All right, there we go.
A is correct.
Wow, did you get any right, Eric?
Great job.
Not tonight, my friend. I didn't study.
But now, you know what that means, Todd.
I know.
Yes. Well, as we said in this case, if you're studying for your journey, if you're on the journey to studying for your Technician General Extra Class License, hamstudy.org, as we always say, is an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And, so with that, thank you for hanging out with us, Todd. We appreciate it. We know you're on remote site there. You know, you can definitely, I'm sure you got some good input. You had some good POTA activity today, but I won't let the cat out of the bag. You can share that in a second. But with that, you know, we always get into our ham radio week catch up. So in our usual format, I'm going to ask our guest first, Kermit, you know, what's been going on your ham radio week?
Not as much as I want. I'm still trying to get POTA. I'm still trying to get Hawaii. I've got a ham alert. Some dude on a volcano keeps going, and I keep logging on or keep jumping on the radio to try and catch it, and have not managed. I've got all 50 states because, you know, DC's the wild card.
Yep.
But still waiting on Hawaii, and that's just,
we all are,
one POTA hunter. I keep missing it. I'm just going to Hawaii and hunt it at some point.
Well, you know what? Welcome to the club. Because I've got DC, but I need Alaska and Hawaii. And I'll tell you what happened today. And I was so close.
Cool. All right. Well, so Hawaii's on the to-do list, but any other good news? I mean, obviously Hawaii, it could be good news in the future.
In all honesty, anytime I have a chance to get on the radio, it's good news. And I've got a buddy, my Elmer, in for VEL, and managed to make a QSO earlier. And in all honesty, that's it doesn't take a lot to make me happy if I can put a mic in my hand and make a connection with somebody. But maybe not this week, but recently I did acquire a Zhaigu.
Zhaigu
X6200 to up my QRP game. And so 5 watts, I managed to go from DC to Buenos Aires, but I can't, you know, still can't hit it. So working nice. On it.
What are you running for an antenna when you're playing with that?
Just a spark plugger infed half wave.
Really? Wow. Nice.
And I was in a DC park and just threw it up in the tree with my little line. And I had a blast, man. When I was up there for a week, I tried to POTA at least every Zulu day. So a lot of times I would do a late night and then do an early activation to make sure I got doubles, but had a total blast doing that and looking forward to doing it again soon. So we'll see.
So I got one question. You said in a DC park, how is it that you were able to continue to survive in a DC park when you were throwing something up in a tree? Like that's like national park, like kind of status.
Stealthy. No. So I did have a little encounter with Secret Service. We won't talk about that, but that was a different conversation. But really, the park that I was in, I found a spot. It was a pretty inconspicuous, I think. And there was the trail split and I took the road less traveled. And so I had like one or two people come through. And I always laugh when I'm in a park and somebody comes and asks like, what are you doing? And I just look at them and say, I'm calling in airstrikes. Kilo Zulu for Charlie Delta. Yeah, so, but yeah, for the most part, it's generated some very nice conversations. I've managed to meet park rangers and both in Canada in the one park that I've activated there and in several U.S. parks. And for the most part, I try to be very careful when I do throw it in the tree. And I just explain, I haven't affixed it. I've been very careful. Although I could tell you a horror story. I had one where the bag went over the throw and then it came over and then wrapped around the branch underneath it. And it's like 40 feet in the air. Yep. And I was in Seattle. And so I'm sitting there like, and I'm like, I don't want to be that ham guy. Like, right. I mean, like not that guy. And so I literally found a stick and I'm sitting there. The bag was just barely hanging over the edge of the branch. And I'm sitting there with a stick and I threw the stick into the air probably for 12 minutes. And finally it hit the bag and it actually flipped over twice and I got it down. And then I look across the way and there's like 30 people in their RVs sitting across the field, like looking at me. They all started clapping. And, I was like, you guys could have helped, but you know, but yeah.
Are you not entertained?
I managed to not be that guy. That made my year in all honesty for ham radio. So.
Well, they have a name for that. That's called Scout 75. Scout 75 has left his entire antenna up in the tree for who knows how long. And I, to this day, I still haven't gotten confirmation that he's actually pulled it down again. So, you know, at least you were able to do some recovery and be successful with that.
But, yeah, it makes me much more cautious when I throw a line now. So
the one thing I would say next time you say, when you're calling airstrikes, you could just say to the person, pause for 3 seconds and say, you might want to move to your left. Just, you know, kind of throw a little curve in it.
Done.
Fire for effect. Send it.
Roger, roger. Oh, sorry. Hold on a sec.
Oh, no, not that one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you are definitely in good sorts here. We all are big POTA guys. We all love this stuff. So always good to hear a good success story, even if, you know, it was one of those, like, I'm going to tuck tail and remember this forever kind of memories.
Yeah, and I just, every time I throw a line now, I remember that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's the first thing you do before you release the weight bag. Well, cool. That was awesome. All right. Well, over to our usual crowd here. So, Paul, how's your ham radio week been, sir?
Well, so not too bad. I got a new Pi Star. It's a duplex one. So I spent a little bit of time kind of trying to figure that out and set that up. So now I've got one hotspot that is specific for DMR, and then the new one is specific for Fusion. So it doesn't matter which radio I have, I can still get on all the reflectors that I want.
Mm-hmm. The Wave Star, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I haven't quite touched my feet into All Star and D Star yet, but I'll get there.
Come on.
Now, so Friday, I was trying to come up with the $20 antenna challenge ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, racking my brain. Because it's like, all right, I know, you know, for us, the deadline is, I believe, January.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that, well, Toads was doing it, and their deadline was December 16th. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I guess I only got a couple of days to figure this out. So, long story short, I went to Harbor Freight, and I picked up two 33-foot tape measures. Mm-hmm. And I removed the ends of the tapes and I soldered a wire across and I put some strain relief. And and I stretched them out so that they made the legs of the dipole. And while it is definitely far from ideal and far from being resonant on any of the bands, it's been an experiment, and it's been a little bit of fun. It was really cold this weekend, so you know, I was battling cold and fading daylight there. But I left it up in the tree, so it's still strung across my yard, the two tape measures, and over the next couple of days, I think I'm just going to run coax into the house, and I'll just sit in the shack and try and figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, we've got to work on that antenna challenge thing. I know T.O.'s got his going, and they kind of posted up on the Toads Discord. So if you're a Toads member, head on over there and get more details on that. We're kind of doing something a little separate, which we haven't released yet out to the public, but we're kind of testing it out and want to make it a little bit bigger, kind of multi-level, like multi-category experience. But yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I got to actually start thinking about my $20 antenna there. So, okay. Well, hey, at least you're way one step ahead of me, man. I haven't even put pen to paper yet in terms of thinking about what I want.
But I actually did ham radio stuff this week. So,
dude, you, if anything, out of this group, you're always doing some form of ham radio more than Todd and I put together. That's just, kind of the way kind of cookie crumbles. So, all right, cool. Well, good there. And, glad you got a chance to get outside. I mean, obviously the weather was a little, cold these couple of days, but no snow. So, there's that benefit. But all right, man. Well, since he's sitting in his vehicle right now, wondering whether or not he's going to get jumped and carjacked. How's it going, Tom? Well, how's your ham radio week?
I'll tell you, the ham radio gods were looking out for me today. So here I am, and I'm just north of Little Rock. I went to this place called Walk-Ons, which is a game day with a taste of Louisiana, a little sports bar, kind of good food, really good food. Met my buddy. He's now living here. He lived here before, moved to Texas, and then came back. So I was down here. I said, well, let's get together. Let's go grab a bite to eat and catch up. So I did that. But prior to that, I activated a park. First time in a long time. It was awesome. It was, for starters, as I was leaving this morning to get at 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:30, it was like spitting snow and it was just nasty. And I get down 70 degrees and just awesome. So I did what
appreciate you rubbing it in.
Yeah, I was going to try to do two, but I was having too much fun at this one park. It was park number US 9165. It's called Cox Creek State Recreational Area, and it's basically this like small lake, and beautiful, had a picnic table with a roof over it, like a little shelter, and I had my antenna out, and I worked 10 meters. I got 44 contacts, but the best part of it was I made some really cool, a ton in California. Everything, 90% of it was 5.9. But I got Alaska, I got Hawaii, and I got Rio de Janeiro down in Brazil, all 5.9. Wow. And I got like Montana. I got like states I never get. Now, I know I'm not in New Hampshire. I'm down here in Arkansas, but it was still pretty cool. And when I talked to the Hawaii guy, I'm like, dude, please tell me you're at a park. He's like, no, not today. I'm like, and then I get later on in the activation, I get the Hawaii guy from North Pole, Alaska. And I did find out, I said, have I worked here before? Because I always work when I do Pole, I always get North Pole, Alaska. He says there's like seven of them up there that do ham radio and do parks. And unfortunately, he wasn't at a park. He said he might be going an hour later. Or no, the Hawaii guy said he was going to go. He says, no, I put it away. He goes, we only get 4 hours of sunlight this time of year, and it was 8 degrees outside. So yeah, it warmed up to 8 degrees. So yesterday it was -20. Yeah, I don't go out very much anymore, so I might have to wait till the summer. But pretty cool that I got those guys. I got a couple parks, and I made 44 contacts, and all on 10 meters, and it was just great. I hadn't been out and doing a park in a long time, and it's something I needed. So I was going to try to get two parks in, but I was having so much fun at this one that I just stayed, and then I had to drive 60 miles to get to where this restaurant is, and I got to drive another half an hour back down back to Little Rock to the airport where my hotel is. So well, it was good.
We are quite impressed, dude. We were wondering whether you'd have to have confession to the POTA, you know, priest, you know, and confess your, you know, five, you know, CQs because you haven't activated a park in, I don't know, a long time. I mean, you've been carrying your gear around more than, you know, someone should, you know, physically, you know, need to.
Out of the bag, and it was good, but I did work Keith and Bill WNWRA from our club, and that was,
I did get a couple guys from New England. They were a little confused because they didn't understand why. They all thought I was in New Hampshire, and I said, no, I'm in Arkansas. And they were getting, so I had to explain that like I do normally when I come down south, is why I'm a W1 call sign with, you know, being down in the south in Mississippi and stuff. But it was all good. A lot of good guys. And like I said, I was, I got a couple of British Columbia and Canada, but Brazil was the only other country, nothing in Europe. But when you get Hawaii in a lightning
day, that's a win-win for me.
So I got one
only in parks. I would have been done.
I got one important question for you. Did you get pat down in TSA for your battery?
Oh my God. All right. So now we've done a podcast on this, right? So one thing that you have to have on your batteries, you have to have a label on it, right? If you don't have that label on it, it's not getting through. So I explained to them, I have TSA pre, I walk right in, the guy goes through, I'm like, yeah, it's a ham radio battery, it's my whole ham radio gear is in this bag. So they open it up, they pull the battery out. Now my battery's been pretty bad beaten up, it's all peeling, like it needs to be re-shrink wrapped. And even the label on it's starting to get scratched. I mean, you can still read how big it is. But yeah, I was probably there for 15 minutes of them. I didn't think it was going to go through. I was ready to throw my bag back in the car and just be done with it. But like I said, the POTA gods were with me. And sorry for the inconvenience, sir. Have a great trip. Packed it all up and off I went. So but yeah. Well, look,
the mailing label says that it's only 1 amp hour. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem.
For our podcast audience, he's holding up a 30 amp hour battery there.
as long as the label says so.
I got to find a smaller, this battery I have is, it's pretty heavy and it weighs down. If I could find a smaller one that I could do it like an hour activation on, and not run out of battery. I think if it was a little bit smaller, I think it would be easier because the one I have, I mean, it looks like a bomb. I mean, it's got wires hanging out of it. That was the thing that they're like, well, what are all these wires for? And I'm like, well, that one's for charging it. And this one's to plug it to the radio.
I don't know. I've never seen them before. Well, now they've got the power delivery. Like you can get a PD to 12 volt. And so you can just get like a normal Anker, like,
charging
brick. Battery charger, and you can just do that. You don't have to.
There you go. There's a tidbit.
Well, I'm gonna experiment and see how and play around with bring multiple batteries, because if I could get a little bit lighter, because the backpack's pretty heavy, you know, running through the airports and stuff. I was like, this thing, and honestly, it's like all I brought was my ham radio gear, and then I brought like one of those throw sacks, like, you know, like I have an Under Armour. It's like it's got the cord. You just tie it up. Like you throw a towel or something. I got a change of clothes in there and a toothbrush. And that's about it. So like I could have gotten away with just that, but you know, you need to have the ham radio gear and thing weighs a ton. And then I was like, oh man, I'm flying those little sardine can jets. And I'm like, they better make me not have to take this down to the bottom, because sometimes they make you go, but the backpack will fit in the upper storage and the other thing throws in the bottom. So I was good. So now I have one more chance. I got to get back home tomorrow. So hopefully I'll get through Arkansas TSA with my battery.
What kind of radio do you carry in your pack, Todd?
I have a Yaesu 891. So, and so
you're worried about the battery? the radio.
The battery's all that weight.
Yeah. Then as I was getting there, I downloaded a movie or two on my iPad. So I'm in the plane and, you know, my battery on my iPad like dropped down to like 30%. So as I was getting near the end, I'm calling last call. I start getting like little pileups going on. I got three or four people, and I'm looking at my iPad battery, which is I'm doing all my login. It's like 7, 6. I'm putting it on like
counting down.
I did low as I can go just so I could see it. I'm like 5, 4. Battery, guys, this is gonna be the last call.
That must have killed you, my friend. That must have killed you. You are one person that we all know on this podcast that cannot say last call and then shut off the radio.
I was on last call for about 40, half an hour at least. But I did have to go because it kind of worked out. I was running out of batteries, and I was about 60 miles from where I had to meet my friends, so I had to leave to make it there on time. So. But it all worked. It was good. I hadn't done you almost forget how much you like it, but I was just having a blast. I mean, I couldn't ask. I could have sat out there all day and all night. I would have still been there, but I was at this, it was like a little campground, and some guy came up to me. He goes, "Oh, you're a ham." He goes, "My buddy was supposed to come here and activate today." And I said, "Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Tell me good day." So, but then go back to the ham radio gods or the POTA gods. So as I'm leaving, and I'm driving north, all of a sudden, we get into the most severe thunderstorm I think I've ever been in. I mean, bolts coming out of the sky, wind blowing, buckets of rain coming down. And I was like, it like waited until I was all packed up and ready to go before these storms came. And I had no idea that the storms were even coming.
Didn't want it to ruin your moment. That's awesome.
Places of the let the rain and the thunderstorms hold on. I just hope I don't die on the ride back. But
well, you'll die a happy guy if anything. So
I'm gonna go back, take my POTA log and upload it and get it in there, and so it was all good. So Eric, you know, how was your ham radio?
Hey, nice job, my friend. There we go. Well, my ham radio week, yeah, I too got to partake in a little POTA activation. I was, traveling today for work, and so lo and behold, I had gotten out of my appointment earlier, and I've got HF in my truck, so all I had to do is carry my 20 amp hour battery with me because I can just plug it in as a secondary power source and not drain the truck. And I was thoroughly impressed with the park that I was at. It was a nice wildlife place, big parking lot, dirt, typical kind of like hiking, hunting kind of zone. And it was in Mass. And so I was like, oh, sure, I'll go activate it. And I think after about an hour, I mean, QSOs were coming hard and fast. I mean, I think I was literally, if I looked at my Q rate, I was like 2 a minute. And I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. And it was humming along and having fun. But at the same time, where I had parked, it was super quiet, called to see if anybody had the frequency above me or below me, and nothing. And then some Brazilian station came on top, like 3 kilohertz, just shy 3 kilohertz up, and was just pounding. Like, I mean, it was QRM. Like, I got to 5.9 when I'm not getting blasted by QRM. And that was like literally for 35 contacts straight. And like, they must have knew I was there because they would stop just a little bit that I could get the contact information, but then they'd pick back up again. And it was like this constant cycle over and over, rinse, rather, repeat. And I was just like, man, this is frustrating. But, at the same time, I was like, dude, 60 contacts, in an hour, that's pretty good for me. And I played the game. Like I looked at the spotting page, not the spotting page, the park page for the park itself. And I was like, okay, who's the lowest guy in the list? How many contacts does he have? Okay, I just need to be 3 more than him, and I'll put him at the bottom of the list. So I'm like, okay, so it's 3 more. And then like I look at the next guy, I'm like, okay, I got 5 more. So another 5 more. So I bump 2 guys down, and I'm like, okay, I get to that last guy. He's like 85. I'm like, I'm at like 60. Do I want to be, can I get 20 more in, fine, I'll just scrap it there. So, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. So all in all, I got out of there in an hour.
Go back tomorrow and go up.
Take it over. Yeah, I'm not driving down to Taunton again just to go activate a park. I'll go local. I'll go finish the rail trail where I've got a 700 or 800 QSOs that I got to get more under my belt.
Yeah.
Now so, I got to point out something that's funny and it's really only relevant to our area, right? But in New England, if you have to travel more than a half an hour to get to where you want to get,
you're doing it wrong.
Most of the time, like, that's too far of a drive.
Yep.
But for the rest of the country, like, they'll drive literally hours.
2 hours, 3 hours. Yep. I mean, Kermit, what's the closest park to you?
I do have one that's 20 minutes away.
Wow. Okay. So that's a rare. Okay.
And then beyond that, it's like 45.
Wow. I have literally five parks that are literally 15 to 20 minutes away from me. It's insane. Yeah.
I mean, Eric and it
hurts.
October, we did a rove and we were trying to get 10 parks in one trip. Yeah. And we ended up getting 7, but they were like literally like every 10 minutes, yeah, 5 drive. It was like minutes. We just for another.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling Kermit about our rove up the coast, and he was doing similar kind of roves through New Hampshire and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, you need to come and do that whole rove again. You have to come. Actually, Kermit, you're going to have to come sometime in the spring if we can coordinate right, because we're trying to do a two-team effort. So two teams start at the southern tip of Maine, work a couple of parks, and then another team sets at the bottom of like Mass and works up one, and we meet somewhere in the middle, grab lunch, cross paths, and work the rest of the parks all the way down. So there's like 8 guys or 6 guys all working, all these parks in a massive like 10 or 12 park rove.
Ham radio meets tenant. It's a pincher operation.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, it sounds like we had some good POTA and ham radio week today. So that makes my heart warm there that we're all, back in the saddle there and having some fun. But tonight, we like I said, I alluded to a very special guest. And so if you are just tuning in this episode, it's a first time out. We've got a great guest on. Kermit has come on. Kermit Jones, I should say his full name there, Junior, if you're Googling him or looking for him. You might have heard him. He's an author of some great children's books like Prepper Pete and Survivalist Sam and Radio Rick. All awesome books. You can all Google those and find them. But we're going to talk more about some of the stuff he's done. And Paul's, if you're watching the stream here on our YouTube channel, you'll see that Paul's got some of his books up there. He has done some really cool stuff. Now, like, I think there is a space in the ham radio world that we're all struggling to, and we all have heard, ham radio is dying, we need to bring in the younger crowd. Well, what more than to have someone like Kermit, already doing stuff like that, already like penetrating those markets and building something that we can talk to and share with our kids and share with other kids and have the parents even get involved and learn more about things like prepping and ham radio and POTA and antennas and all of the stuff that we love to talk about. Kermit's already set the stage for that. So we're going to kind of dive in tonight. We're going to, obviously let Kermit introduce himself and talk a little bit about him. But, we're going to talk about some of his books and share more of that, because I think he's sitting on an awesome opportunity that's ripe for the picking for this year and going forward. That if you've got people in your life that are young kids that want to learn more about prepping and learning the right way and, not going to the extreme, things that we see on YouTube and stuff like that, or more so learn about the hobby that you enjoy and you share, but you can't quite connect with them, that this is a perfect example. So Kermit, welcome again to the show tonight. We appreciate you being on and thank you for coming in short order there. Hey, introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a little about yourself, kind of how you got into your ham radio career. And then, let's kind of get into some of the cool, ideas and books that you've created around that.
Well, thank you, Eric and Todd and Paul. It is a total honor to be here. Love you guys. And I appreciate the opportunity to share my story. And man, we were talking before the show that ham radio is the hobby of hobbies. And that is something that I did not know. When I got into it, I knew it was big. I had no idea how big it was. And the more I peel back, the more I see. My journey started, though, about a little over a year ago. It was actually Veterans Day weekend of 2023. And I was in Quantico. Well, I was in D.C. I'm in the Navy Reserves. I'm a chaplain in Reserves. And so I was at my billet in Washington, D.C. But I was visiting a friend of mine in Quantico, Virginia at breakfast. And he's a ham radio guy. And we went to college together a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And he's been a fan of Prepper Pete ever since the beginning. So I started writing prepper books for kids, preparedness books for kids, not in the doomsday prepper Nat Geo style, but more of a, how do you create a launching point for discussion for your kids? And so he would ask me, he'd be like, hey, when are you going to do the radio, the ham radio book? And I was like, well, I don't know enough about it. Like, you know, whatever. And he's a couple of years ago. And so finally last year he was like, Kermit, when are you going to do it? And I was like, well, I need to get my license first because I don't want to be a poser. Mm-hmm. He goes, I said, how hard is that going to be? And he just looks at me and he says, what was your major again? He knows I'm a poli sci major, like, right? And I said, you know, and he just goes, probably a couple of months as he put a bite into his mouth. Now, that was just fire on a fuel for me because he knows I'm also very competitive. And okay. So that was literally 5:30 in the morning. And on a Friday, I went and did a couple of duties to serve my country on that Friday. And at the conclusion of the day, I literally went back to my hotel room and scheduled an exam for Sunday night. I think was the first one I scheduled. And wow. I was like, I'm going to do this, like, right? And it's 430 questions. How hard can it be, right? Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, you know what? I can do it better than that. So I literally scheduled one for Saturday night, too. And studied for 24 hours, took the technician and passed. I got a 34 out of 35. And then I,
whoa,
24 hours later, I got another 34 out of 35 on the general. And then I was like, I'm never going to know this much about ham radio ever again from a testing perspective. I said, so I'll schedule my extra for Tuesday night, have 48 hours to study because it's a little bit more of a beast. And
I'm glad you recognize that at least.
Oh, yeah. No, I recognize it. And then literally Monday night, I think I was doing, and keep in mind too, I got the flu or something over the weekend. I had a fever of like 101 degrees. I was a little delirious out of my head. And Monday night I went to text the team for Tuesday night. And I was like at whiskey five Yankee India or something like that. Whiskey Yankee five India. And I texted him. I'm like, hey, I'm scheduled for tomorrow night. And just wanted to say, you know, thank you for texting me, whatever. He says, I've got you scheduled for 40 minutes from now. Or like 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm taking my extra exam tonight. And so I actually took the extra exam and barely passed it. I mean, like, I think I was like one question above. And so I always say, you know, I did not take my testing as an example of knowledge of how much I know of ham radio, but I have taken it very much as a license to learn. And so it's been a whirlwind. And so I called Josh the next day just because I was in a mood. And I was like, dude, aren't you just a general? Like, when are you going to get your extra? Is that going to take you a couple of months to study?
And now, when you refer to Josh, you're talking about HRCC Josh or a different Josh?
No. Sorry about that. November 4, Victor Echo Lima, N4VEL.
Okay. Yeah, because you mentioned it on Tank Radios. I was like, is he talking about HRCC?
No. I don't know that Josh yet.
Okay.
And so I said, when are you gonna get your extra? And he just goes, Kermit, like, do you even own a ham radio? And I'm like, minor glitch, but literally, cause he's a great guy. He said, hey, why don't you come down Wednesday morning? So I met him again at like 5:30 in the morning. Cause he has to go before he goes to work. And we met at a park and I did my first POTA activation. My first time on any ham radio.
Warm my heart.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, I think it was a threefer, actually. I mean, or twofer.
Even better. My God.
Right? Totally. Just start at the top. And then I didn't touch a radio for like 6 months. And
if you started saying you did a fifer, I'd be like, all right, I'm done. I can't do ham radio. This is ridiculous. How does this happen?
Yeah. And so then, like, you know, about 6 months later, I'd done some stuff. I had a radio, got the radio and everything. And it was Memorial Day weekend, actually. I still remember because there was like all these contests. I like log on. I'm like, wow, there's a gazillion people everywhere. I didn't realize they were running like contests and everything because I didn't know what I didn't know. And so, but in the process of doing all that, Josh is also the one as both my Elmer and my friend. He kind of sat down and looked at the prep. He said, well, you know, if you're going to do a ham radio book, it needs to be something like fun about what ham radio is about. And I'm like, well, what's ham radio about?
Because I'm studying for all this.
Like, right, this is still that, still breakfast, like, right, back in November. And he goes, well, you know, people use it for emergency. There's Aries, there's races, there's people do it for fun stuff, for POTA, parks on the air. People do it for, you know, and I'm just like, he gets done with a list of like 30 things. And I'm like, my head's just like smoke's coming out of my ears. And I was like, what do they not use ham radio for? But that led to a couple of book ideas. I've outlined probably about a dozen so far. And The first one came out in October, which I think Paul's got. Paul, did you have your copy there of Radio Rick Relays Belief? Yeah. Eric, I'll make sure you get a copy here soon.
Appreciate it. And, great book.
New illustrator, though. So then my original Prepper Pete series. But I really had a blast doing it. And then that led to actually a collaboration with Angry American or Chris Weatherman, who wrote the Going Home series. And this one's based on a true story of when he used a ham radio to contact authorities when cell phones weren't working. So both of those are now out, and then I've got several more books coming. Whatever you want to talk about, I'm game. But I've got some favorites, and I've got some oh by the ways. So,
well, so a couple of things for you there, Kermit. Right? What is the difference between the doctor that graduates the top of his class and the doctor that graduates the bottom of his class?
They're both called doctor.
Exactly. And so the minimum number to get your extra is 37, right? And so it doesn't matter if you get 37 or if you get all 50, you still get your license.
Yeah, 37. And I think the first time, I'll be fair, because the testing guys were amazing. Three totally different groups, different experiences of doing virtual testing, by the way. But the last one, Whiskey 5 Yankee India, I actually failed it the first time. I got a 36 out of 37.
Oh,
and they were like, it's Veterans Day. You're a veteran. Did you want to try again?
We were encouraging you to, please.
Right. And then I got a 38 out of 37. And so, awesome. But it just took away all the worries. And then I went and formed an amateur radio club, K4PPF. And so,
because you didn't have anything else to do, you know, why not?
Nothing else to do in my world. That's right. And so, yeah, so that's been a wild ride too. So we'll see.
Very cool. All right. Well, now back to the books though. So my wife, she's a therapist, and she kind of follows the podcast a little bit. But she had known that, you know, you were going to be on my live stream when I did the big giveaway and that you were giving away the kids' books. And so when I got the books in, she hadn't seen them. And so she knew we were coming on tonight to talk to you again. And she goes, well, I want to see the books. And she went page by page through every single one. And she was like, oh my gosh, these are amazing. The illustrations are amazing. The way it's laid out is amazing. She's like, we're going to be getting these books to hand out to nieces and nephews. And yeah, so fantastic job. You got the approval of my wife, who absolutely hates ham radio. And that's got to say something.
Well, so
great job.
Yeah. I'll take that. That warms my heart. One of the upcoming books is Prepper Pete and the Sad Ham. So, you know,
I'm looking forward to that one, but I think the one that really is closest to my heart is POTA. Is it Pamela POTA? That
POTA
one,
Pam.
POTA Pam is going to be my, you know, the one I'm going to be going to every time.
Yeah, POTA Pam activates a park. And that one, I actually had written it. We storyboarded the whole thing, and then I went back and scrapped it because it was like, it was very informational, you know. There's hunters, there's activators, that you got to do 10, you got to upload your log, had all that stuff. And then I was like, there's no real story here. And so we went back, and it's basically Prepper Pete goes to Pam and asks her, like, how do I do POTA? And so it becomes a little bit more of an interactive story. My favorite book coming out is Chuck Morris Taps Into Trouble.
Oh, dude. Oh, I'm all over that one. Dude, and you are a wealth of information. Like, I am just like super excited to hear that somebody's like filled this gap that I hear all the time, that people are like, oh, you know, there's no way we're reaching the young, you know, let's throw technology at them. Let's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is a perfect gateway. This is awesome. This is like just exactly what you need to be able to just introduce people in a very, like, you know, non like informational down the throat kind of approach. It's like, hey, just like here, read this. And, you know, you can dream about this after we've read it at bedtime. And, you know, and all of a sudden you're planting seeds like way early on. That's awesome.
Yeah. My hope is a layered approach too. When I did the original prepper books, I don't know if you guys remember Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers.
I watched every episode.
Right? I've talked about them a few times lately. I want to go back and watch them all again, but I really was trying to make fun of those people, but I wanted to also make fun of people who don't prepare. Like, so the first book was a sarcasm on both sides, I think is probably the best way to describe it. But when I started designing Radio Rick, I was like, oh, Radio Rick, he's a pig. And everybody's like, why a pig? And I'm like, because he's a ham.
Ham.
Exactly. Like, how is that not obvious, people?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, no. I have a feeling that Get Hammed, www.getham.com is going to show up in the back of a few pages.
Hey, all for it, man. We'll gladly, you know.
Matter of fact, I needed a phone number. I needed a phone number for an upcoming book, and I didn't want to do a 555 number. So I think that 978-233-1142. You might get some kids. You might get some kids randomly calling that number because it's gonna be in the book as a number. So,
you know, you call that one, you're gonna get our voicemail saying, "Hey, leave us a message," and it's, you know, the whole live free and ham. So awesome. Yeah, and that's actually a good segue because, like, I was listening to, and I haven't gotten a copy of the book, so I haven't been privy to see all of the great illustrations that Paul has gone through and done. But like listening to you on Tank Radio, that's one of the episodes I was just recently listening to. It was just really cool to see all of the little Easter eggs you've thrown in every like book in some form or fashion. And I think that's like totally awesome. I'm like all for that type of stuff.
Well, I can actually, I think I've got screen share capability, don't I, here?
Yeah, so yeah, you can go ahead. Yeah, you want to bring it up?
We can play a little fun with that.
Yep. So those that are listening to the podcast, you know, head over, check this episode out on Live Free and Ham's YouTube channel so you can see those things.
Hey, you notice the cup in his hand?
I can barely make that up, but actually,
Kermit's there we go.
The full color here. Ooh.
There you go. Yeah.
HR2O. Nice.
I loved it.
That was awesome.
So we got that one. And then my favorite page, and this is, wrong one. This is the page that took probably the longest, was the Ham Shack.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And who the QSL cards? I heard that was a big thing.
Yeah, I've got quite a few in there of people that have either helped or contributed early on or had conversations with.
Josh's, yep.
And yep. As I go through, I add Easter eggs to the next one. So I have a feeling you'll see some familiar ones coming up here in some upcoming books. But I actually had done went to Gigaparts and got the Explorer. I have the Explorer sticker that I got from them, so I wanted to throw that one on there. There's the Prepper Pete and Friends Amateur Radio Club.
Oh, nice. HR2O yeah, sticker.
I just got that sticker.
Yeah, and then I've, let's see. Here, Saves the Day. And then actually in Saves the Day, in every page, I try to give attention to detail. I try to be real. I think it's a kid's book, right? But I want parents to be able to read this with their kid and point something out and talk about like what it means. And so, you know, this one I've got, you know, you'll see Gort up. You can't really see the resolution on this one. That's Gordon West, Extra Club. You got Gorilla's Guide to Baofeng. My favorite Easter egg so far is the ARRL news article of building the next
generation. I do remember that one.
Yeah, which doesn't actually exist as an article yet. I'm hoping someone's going to contact ARRL and be like, "Hey,
you need to make this
article."
or do it like for like a April Fool's kind of joke, like, you know, kind of thing.
I'll take that in a heartbeat. Yeah, and then, you know, So I've tried to be kind of, you'll see the, you know, a lot of the frequencies that are used for different things are real frequencies, are things that take place. And I think attention to detail is important. Kids are very literal. We struggled. How do you explain the idea of a frequency to a kid? Yeah. And, that was probably one of the hardest aspects of what we did. I'm trying to figure out the page. I don't have all the page numbers memorized. I apologize, but Yeah, page 18 here. So that's the best that I could come up with as far as frequencies are in the sky. They're different ones, but it had to be the imagination of the kid. And so Pete's trying to point them out. And then on the opposite page, they're actually connecting the radios. Yeah. So that sort of thing. And Tank had actually made some good stuff. I'd mentioned, I think, the word infrastructure in one point. And so we try to work through that. And how does HF work? That's on the right page there. Versus, you know, shorter wavelengths, shorter distances, UHF and HF is the longer wavelengths, longer distances. So there's a lot of layered learning, I think is what I'm going for.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, you hit the nail on the head. You don't really have to like teach them like to the test, because in essence, they're reading this stuff for the first time. It's going to start to just make a seed plant, like Paul was talking way earlier in the show, that, you know, you're just starting them out in that sense. And, you know, kids, it's funny because like when we have them come to field day in our summer, you know, event at our club, like a lot of the stuff that we do, like our go to tent and all that stuff, is very like simple in the sense of like get on the microphone, talk to somebody, give them a visual of like where we've like you're here and they're there and this is how far you've talked, and you know, really just kind of make that like come to reality. Because, you know, we all know kids, like, they're on their cell phones at a very young age, but they don't understand that, you know, they could talk to somebody halfway around the world because they just their words are so small. So this is like just like awesome to see that you're able to kind of just boil this down with a very general sense without like getting in the weeds, which is awesome.
Yeah. And one of the books coming is Prepper Pete and the Ham Exam. And it's just, it's a simple, what are the three levels of the exam? How often do you have to give your call sign over the air? You know, be careful to make sure you use the proper bands, because there's different privileges for different levels. And that's something that we've already got storyboarded for the most part. And then it's got like, you know, one person gets their technician, one person gets their technician HF. Chuck Morris, of course, he gets all three in the first sitting. But that's because
of course he does.
Chuck Morris, him. Yeah, Chuck Morris can talk on HF without a radio.
HF talks to Chuck Norris, really. Oh,
that's better, yeah. So I'm trying to get that straight, but I get so excited. I think my illustrator gets a little fed up with me at times, because like, no, we're gonna do this and then we're gonna add this, and she's like, can we just focus on the book we're working on? Okay. Like, yeah, working there. But I've got 7 or 8 books planned for 2025, and at least probably three or at least four of them, maybe five, are focused towards amateur radio specifically. I found the hobby to be amazing, the people to be amazing, and there's enough overlap that I can easily do it. We're going to do one on Solar Sunny Gets a Charge. It's going to be about solar setups and that kind of stuff. You'll actually see him setting up the for Radio Rick, he's setting up the background. He's in the background of one of them. I think setting up the power. Let's see. Right. Oh, there's Solar Sunny in the background.
You should really like try to do a field day one. That one is a more interesting concept, because a lot of the 4-H groups and stuff like that, we invite them to come do that. And so they come to the thinking it's like this more traditional, you know, field day approach. But when they get to the event, they're like, fox hunting, what the heck's that? Or, you know, getting on the air station, you know, talking, you know, yep, to people local or worldwide, you know, it's kind of crazy. So yeah.
Radio Rick relays, Radio Rick receives a message is a fox hunting one that I'm going to be doing. And that's basically cool. Someone's lost in the woods and they use triangulation. That's a little bit different than I think a typical fox hunt, but they zero in on him using fox hunting techniques. But yeah, I do have a field day one that I have planned that I want to work through. I may have to call you for some inputs, because I'm always looking for
the
help. One
thing I would say with the fox hunt thing, you might want to try a live fox hunt where some of your other characters like go in a vehicle and they go hide somewhere in the woods, and like Radio Rick has to find them via DFing. That might be something of an interesting one. That'd be cool.
Hide and go seek for
exactly. That would be perfect. The kids can connect to that 100%. Yeah.
Ham and go seek.
Totally. Yeah.
Dude, I'll work on that joke. Sorry.
But. Dude, that's awesome. So it sounds like, you know, you've got an awesome base to work from. And, you know, you're already kind of just, you know, every time I'm sure you probably talk to somebody, they throw an idea out and you've got this like long list of laundry list of stuff, correct?
Yeah. And a lot of times they'll give me one and I'm like, oh, I can incorporate that in, you know, in this book here, or maybe an Easter egg or background. And then sometimes I'm just like, nope, that's a whole nother book. And that's probably one of the harder parts is there's so much awesomeness in the hobby as far as what could be talked about. I'm trying to find the ones that maybe hit the bigger groups. Mm-hmm. Just because at the end of the day, I am trying to sell books too. I really want to spread the love and the knowledge. If I can break even, I'm happy. But I would love nothing more than to just sell thousands of books and kids be learning about ham radio, prepping, everything. Chickens. We got a fire safety one coming out that my daughter wants to help me with.
Gun safety.
Yeah. What's that?
That the gun safety was on. But so there's a good segue. So like let's pull up your website real quick. So Prepper Pete in friends.com is the website. Again, we'll have the URL in the description below so you can go check it out later when you get a chance. But this is the place to go, right? Correct. This is your landing kind of spot for everything that you're kind of doing and anything in the future, whether interviews or whatnot. I am totally impressed with it. I mean, it's a great site. I was able to find everything I kind of needed and learn about, you know, obviously the book series and what you're doing. And I'm pretty, you know, I was excited to see, you know, what you had and, you know, it kind of just made me think like, oh, cool. He's just like running with this and it's just, you know, exploding. One of the things that kind of brought to my attention was, has there been a topic like either in the prepping side or the ham radio side that you had, it's a little bit more bigger to deal with that you struggled with, or you know, something that you kind of put on the shelf for a while? Any one of those kind of topics that really kind of, you know, you're still working on?
Well, I mean, I've got some of the original series books that I'm still looking at, but the gun safety book, actually, the Gun of a Son that you'll see on there on the bookshelf, that is probably book three or four, I think, in the series that's listed. That was a number one on children's safety on Amazon. It's a fairly beefy book. It covers a lot more than just treat, never, keep. I mean, it covers like, you know, brass, breathe, relax, aim, squeeze, shoot, that kind of stuff. So it covers not only safety, but also kind of some basic conversation to have with your kid if you're out on the range, or really the idea is you have this conversation with them beforehand. And then when you get to the range, they've already got the idea of safety in mind. It's almost like I have one friend who their child becomes the range officer, safety officer, range safety officer. And so the kid's like making sure everyone's following the rules. They yell range is hot, or, you know, range is cold. And so, because the kid has that safety at their forefront, it's really done it. But I almost did an appendix to Gun of a Son, and I'm probably going to do one called Gun of a Son 2, a TOO coming up. And it's like the different parts of a firearm, you know, different parts of a cartridge. And I was going to put that in the back of the first book. And somebody was like, you know, if you do that, then kids are going to think they can take the firearm apart and kids shouldn't be doing that by themselves, which I'm, you know, I'm good with that. But the idea of there's a deeper layer of firearm conversation, because part of firearm safety is firearm maintenance and proper storage. And those are the sort of things that, you know, some people are like, guns, and they're all scary. Matter of fact, I got uninvited to readings quite often back in the day. At least a half a dozen times I can think of, I'd get invited to come read to like a kindergarten group or a second or first grade. And they'd call me a couple of days prior and be like, yeah. I'm like, let me guess. You saw that there's a picture of a gun on page 7 and 13 and 17.
Right.
And they would like uninvite me to come read because there were pictures of the guns. So at least the radio books don't have guns in them yet. There will be some coming, and I've got a book coming out. It'll probably be in January. POTAPAM is going to be early 2025. Just so you know, Eric, that's
I'm all over it.
Yeah. My illustrator wants to do that one next, but I've got one called Nervous Ned Needs to Know. And that one is the introduction to pace planning for kids.
Oh, cool. So actually it's a good segue. Because I know you were talking a little, you were invited onto Tank Radio's show, and I was actually just listening to the podcast recently. So you were talking a little bit about that, but you didn't really elaborate. So kind of like, what's the whole premise behind Nervous Ned? Because I can kind of associate with him and understand, you know, kind of what his purpose, but where'd you create the character and kind of why did you want to make the book?
No, thank you for asking. Great question. So originally I had a different book. If you look, the funny part is if you look on some of the original covers, you'll see pictures of books that don't exist.
Prepper Pete, gold mines.
Yeah, Prepper Pete gets out of Dodge. That the bug out book doesn't exist just yet. It's storyboarded. But there was one called Prepper Pete's Be Prepared, and this was supposed to be my school friendly book. Is how I kind of did it. It was just like what's the basic things kids need to know in an emergency situation, and what are some steps to take. And it was kind of like I had everything from stop, drop, and roll to stranger danger. And I really had to pare it down because it gets overwhelming quick. And I was listening. It was actually Josh at Ham Radio Crash Course that was talking about pace planning. And I've used pace planning before. We use it in the military quite a bit on some things. And I got to thinking, you know, that really is a good way, just a mindset to plan for things. And I didn't Prepper Pete's Be Prepared versus Prepper Pete Prepares versus Prepper Pete's Be Prepared. Those get really confusing. And so I wanted to have a kid learning about safety or learning about these steps to take. And that's where Nervous Ned came from. Nervous Ned's he's a kid. He's a goat. He's a kid.
Okay.
Nervous Ned.
He doesn't faint at all, right? No.
Some of my subtleties are amazing. And he's really nervous because he doesn't know what to do in an emergency. And so he goes to Prepper Pete for help, and Prepper Pete introduces him to the idea of pace. And so, you know, your primary thing in an emergency is you should know a phone number to someone. That one may show up as a local phone number that you know. So if you get kids calling it, you'll know why. Your alternate would be like an email address or your address. Your contingency might be an email address or an address, depending on which order you go in. And then emergency would be you call 911 when you have nowhere else to go. And so it kind of walks through that. Trying to explain contingency to a kid, though, we're gonna work on word definitions. And then it just goes through some steps. Like if you get lost in the woods, you know, sit tight unless it's not safe. And if you move, leave a trail. If you get lost in a theme park, you know, tell someone in charge. But
dude, that's awesome.
Really helpful if you know a phone number, like right, that kind of thing. And so, yeah.
There's not a lot of books like that. Like I know growing up as a kid, like I only learned that through scouting and like, you know, those type of environments. So like, I know growing up as a parent, my kids are now 24 and 25. So it's like they know that, but only because I, you know, taught that. But having a book would have been totally awesome to be able to just like, because we've read all the Harry Potters. We've read all of like the those storybooks, you know, right, when they're younger. But I'm like, I would love to read stuff like this if I had it and available to me and, you know, being able to do that. So yeah, you've got a goal. Like I keep saying it. You've got a gold mine literally that you're sitting on. So we got to spread the love here and let people know, because if you've got young kids or you got grandkids, you know, that do like maybe interested in some of this stuff or just see you do it, then, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to be able to grab something like this and start to read to them, because one, you'll make 100%, you know, you'll score 1,000 points with the, you know, the daughter, you know, or, you know, the husband of, you know, the family, because like grandpa's reading them stories, but more so like you're ingraining in some like good, like hardcore stuff that they're just going to like later, like latch onto, or it's like going to trigger something. So,
It's Paul's wife approved. I mean,
exactly.
I might just put a stamp on the front of one of them that says that and use that as part of my marketing.
Well, therapist
approved.
I keep forgetting your wife's name, Paul.
Kim.
So you got to be able to make some storybook around Kim. Like it's just, you know, there you go. Start there, and then we'll come up with a few.
I'm sure there's a character coming with Kim somewhere in it. So we'll see. But yeah, but yeah, it's just it's been an amazing journey. And you know, gold mine would be great. But really, you know, I started this because when I wrote Prepper Pete Prepares, I thought I could write a novel on, you know, dystopian, you know, it's back when James Wesley Rawls and Chris Weatherman, Angry American, they were writing all these really cool books 1 second after all that stuff was coming out. And I was like, oh, I can write one of those. And so I start writing it. My character, like immediately he's walking through the swamp with his kids. And cause I had kids at the time and I lived in a swamp, you know, you write what you know.
Sure.
Like, man, how would you prepare your kids in advance for this? And like, literally, as I thought that, Doomsday Preppers, Nat Geo came on and I'm like, no, like just no, that's not
like that.
Not like that. And then I was like, I'd go buy a book on Amazon. And so I went looking on Amazon, and there was literally, there was one book at the time on prepping with kids, but there was nothing for kids. And so I wrote the original book on preparedness for kids. Oh. And I haven't written the first ham radio book, but man, I sure am. I probably had more fun than everybody else doing it. And I want to write like a chapter book series, like My Side of the Mountain meets ham radio. That's
very cool.
If I can tie those two together, we'll see.
But I would love, and I'll throw this little bug out to you. I grew up as a kid with Choose Your Own Adventure. And if you can figure out how to kind of rope into that, I just buy the whole series, just because the act of, like, you know, deciding where I go is always so much better when I, you know, read those series. And those are really the only book series that I think I ever read outside of military books when I was growing up.
You ended up on 7.2 with a bunch of sad hams saying, get off my frequency.
Exactly. That is gold. That's awesome. Cool. Well, Paul, you got any questions? I got a bunch more if you don't.
Yeah, no, Kermit, I'm super enthused that somebody is thinking, how can we present this knowledge to kids in a logical, sensible way that will resonate and stick with them? You know, you and I had the conversation about how, you know, with my kids, I started them out on firearm safety at the age of, you know, 3, 4, 5. By the age of 6, we were at the range. Like, by teaching, you eliminate the curiosity and you eliminate all of the desire to show it off and to play with it, because they understand and they know it's a tool, it's not a toy. And being able to relate with them on their level, I think, is not always easy to do. And you do it very well in your books. So
great job. That means a lot. Thank you. And I, you know, it's interesting. So much of that translates to other aspects of life. Cause I was talking to somebody the other day, we were talking about just basic ham radio stuff. And I was like, yeah. And learning how to properly work around batteries with exposed terminals and capacitors and like things like that, that I think we take for granted a lot of times, or RF burns, like proper grounding of your shack, even things like that become safety concerns, but that has a much bigger impact. I mean, that's life knowledge that hits that they take with them, that I think is pretty amazing. And we, I don't know, just want to capitalize on it, but you're absolutely right. I honestly don't believe there's a too young an age. And you'll see, if you see on the website, you'll see under the gun safety portion, there's a for grown-up section, but it talks about, I mean, teach safety, not fear is the motto when it comes to guns for me. If we teach our kids to be responsible, that is the safety. And I grew up in the era where people had their rifles in the back of their truck, you know, in high school kind of thing, on, and the principal's coming out looking at the gun and, you know, whatever, like, world's different than what it is today. But we didn't have a lot of the issues because people knew how and what to do. And that knowledge is the key. So, but thank you.
So, question for you. So if I was a parent and I obviously stumbled, you know, obviously listening to this podcast and you heard this, you know, episode, what books would you recommend for parents to kind of start in? Is there kind of like a, you know, flow to it, or is it just, you know, whatever kind of suits your fancy? You know, if they're just generally like, they want to get into either, you know, teaching the kids about prepping. I mean, obviously you mentioned gun safety is a specific book in nature, but is it better to start with the Rick series, or, you know, kind of, you know, what would you recommend?
Yeah, I was like, my books or other books? Because, like, no, go just, by
just
my
your,
side
just
of
your books. Yeah. No, we're not really talking about you.
First, that's there's not really a flow. I think really I would start with, what do you think is going to interest the kid the most? Because if you can capture the interest of it, that's going to be key. Now, I will say, for anyone listening, the first four books, the illustrator is Christy Brill. She's the one who helped me bring it to life. And the most recent two books are a new illustrator, Desiree Branya. And so Des has been amazing to work with too. Christy's a mom and wife of a Marine. So loved working with her. I'm probably going to go back and redo the original four books, simply because the digital medium is easier for me to manipulate and do other things with. Mm-hmm. But if you're just you know, you want to talk about preparedness and why we should be prepared? Like, what are the different reasons? That's where Prepper Pete Prepares comes in, and Survivalist Sam. They were actually almost like a part one, part two in that one. The 12 days of Prepper, because, well, sorry, woo, all over the place. So Prepper Pete Prepares talks about, you know, some people, in, you know, Prepper Pete's an ant, because ants prepare in the spring and in the summer and the fall for the winter.
I never made that connection. That makes sense.
Well, when you get a copy of the book, you'll see, because it actually talks about it. And then you'll see, like, it's even got the little grasshopper that's, like, you know, like kind of goofing off on the side. So there's a little nod there to a few other things. And then it kind of pokes fun at, you know, even the government says that everyone should have food and water for 3 days. So the people who are like, oh, don't be a prepper, even the government says you should be a little bit of a prepper. I'm just saying. And that lets the emergency workers focus on people who have a greater need. That's the whole point. Survivalist Sam stocks up is the 4 Bs of prepping: beans, bullets, bandages, and barter. And I'm not saying that I'm a prophet, Eric. I mean, you know, maybe as a chaplain a little bit, but in the original Prepper Pete books, you know, some people thought there'd be a big plague and Prepper Pete's running on his treadmill with a mask.
You're foreshadowing, you a Simpsons, you know, writer.
Right. You know, Survivalist Sam stocks up. It talks about how, you know, one day, even things like the barter, even things like toilet paper will be important. You know,
these are real life things, man. They've happened.
And then Prepper Pete's 12 Days of Prepper Christmas. Now, this one you get to sing. And, you know, it's not too late, because the 12 days of Christmas don't start until Christmas Day. That's a big mistake a lot of people make. But on the first day of Prepper Christmas, my true love gave to me a Lugabaloo and some Bio-TP. And it actually has, you know, second day is 2 walkie-talkies. Third day is 3 emergency road flares. They all fit in the Lugabaloo. And this is based on a true story. My wife's sister and husband, my in-laws, although I'm always hesitant to call them in-laws, because the difference between in-laws, you know, the difference between in-laws and outlaws?
I'm sure there's just one common theme, but go ahead.
Outlaws are wanted.
I'll tell you, show that at Christmas this year.
Yeah, but the reality is they are awesome, and they've been in the prepping wagon long before me. So they brought me the 12 Days of Prepper Christmas, like in a Lugabaloo, singing the song. You know, on the fifth day, it's 5 zombie rounds plus 15. And so that, you know, that was a lot of fun. Then the gun safety book came out, because I really started getting into guns. I had young kids at the time. I really wanted to introduce them in a safe manner. And so that became a big one. This is Amazon number one bestseller for almost 9 months, back in 2015. So, looking forward to re-releasing that. And then the radio relays relief. I mean, if they're just ham radio people, they just think, hey, it's something like, you know, grandpa or dad does, or mom or grandma does, and they want to introduce you to the kids, then the Radio Rick Relays Relief is probably the where I would start. There's no requirement, though. I mean, you could literally start on either one. And
it sounds like pretty much every book kind of overlaps in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I do try to be careful to create a world. So you'll see characters of other books called out in different ones, and that becomes part of it. Like in the Survivalist Sam Saves the Day, if you look in the background, I'm holding it up to the camera for those who can't see, but you'll see Chuck Morris. He's actually doing a roundhouse kick. he's warming up. And so I've got like little things like that are call outs, but yeah, okay. To answer the question, the short way is they're independent, but one's more
prepping. At this point for the adults, you're going to have to create t-shirts, my friend. You just need to like create these t-shirts. Like I just alone, the fact that I could wear something like that, you got my money. So, you know, it's one of those things, man. You got it.
And then yeah,
I want a Chuck Morris t-shirt.
Chuck Morris taps into trouble. I'll see what I can do.
Take my money.
Yeah. And every piece of equipment in Chuck Morris's house is going to be a total gym.
That's awesome.
This is
great. I am totally psyched. And, you know, it's kind of funny, because like when we were working to get you on, all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm hearing you on HRCC. I guess you sent a set of books to HRCC, and they mentioned you on the podcast, and they were going through, flipping through all the pictures, and they were laughing and having a blast. And And they were like, dude, these are great books. You got to go check out his website. And I was just like, oh, cool. All right. And then, you know, I hear you're on Tank Radio Show. And I was like, oh, this dude, this is like, dude, I'm going to have a blast hanging out with him. We're going to be here for a couple of hours talking about everything under the sun. So this is awesome. So
yeah, Paul, glad to have you. Paul was gracious and had me on. Like, that was amazing. So yeah, I've been humbled by the community. I mean, the ham radio community. I know that people always talk about sad hams and some grumpy people, and yeah, that's every community, right? I mean, I'm a chaplain, so we can go there, but we won't. But the reality is that just the open arms and the willingness to share knowledge and just give of time, that has been amazing to see, and something that I've gone through a lot of hobbies. My wife maybe gets tired of that, but I do think I finally found a hobby that first off, there's enough to do that I'll never get bored. But the people are totally amazing, because I mean, you know, yeah, it's just been amazing. And I've got on my calendar like Hamcation and Hamfest. I'm looking forward to both of those. So we'll see.
Sweet. Well, dude, you have been a blast to have on the show tonight. Like, we could go for a couple more hours easily just on all the books. And you know, again, if any of this has struck a chord with any of you guys listening, you know, head over to PrepperPeteAndFriends.com. The link will be in the show notes. And check all these books out. I know I'm going to be super excited. I'm going to have to buy much more. And if you're, you know, maybe this is one of those ways that you're trying to connect your club to the younger generation. If you're looking for those things, this is a perfect outlet for that. So having like something you can give to a younger, you know, family that, you know, wants to be able to kind of get into it, but they don't know how to describe it. You know, Kermit's done an awesome job paving the way to kind of opening those conversations like we've been talking about. So, you know, I'm super ecstatic and super psyched to say that, you know, hey, we're going to keep promoting this, because I think, you know, what you have now and then the additional ideas, it's just, you know, it's going to keep coming and coming and coming. So it's going to be awesome. So any kind of last bit things you want to share with us that you might have on the horizon? I mean, obviously you led to, you know, POTA, Pam there a little bit, but any other kind of ideas that, you know, you want to release out in the wild that, you know, people can be looking forward to coming forward? If not, no big deal. I don't want to put any pressure on you.
No, it's okay. I just started a mailing list on the website. And okay. So I think I have 6 subscribers.
Okay. We'll grab totally that link from you and throw that in the show notes. So
yeah, totally killed. It's on the homepage. And my goal isn't to spam anyone. It's just I'm looking for people that are willing to help from a launch perspective, like when a book releases. Critical time for Amazon is the first week, and really reviews. I mean, I appreciate when people buy, you know, multiple copies. Don't get me wrong, but leaving reviews is probably one of the most difficult things, and for which I'm grateful. And I'll be doing some giveaways. So a lot of the money that I make on the books right now, not that I'm making money yet, because I'm still paying off expenses. But when I get to the point of making money, I'll be probably having some giveaways and raffles. And it may be maybe some Baofengs UV5Rs up to, I don't know, some other like super cool stuff. Like I have some ideas. I may even get like a real radio at some point.
if you could cut, you know, custom brand a radio, like a Baofeng that's a Radio Rick, or, you know, a Survivalist Sam type radio, you know, that might actually sell.
Maybe I need to make a phone call to somebody, or maybe partner with Gigaparts or something. Well, we'll see.
That's actually, you know, probably a good thing. I mean, heck, they created the QRZ1. There should be no reason why they can't create a, you know, Survivalist Sam's, you know, -1 or something, you know, yeah. An FRS pair of radios, or a GMRS kind of, family set.
yeah, no, we'll see. But yeah, I'm excited. I want to do some merch and t-shirts. I'm not quite there yet. I would be curious as to what people would be most interested in. Would love to see you in a t-shirt, don't get me wrong, but just tell me what you want the t-shirt to have so that I can make sure it resonates. But
well, you've got a link over on your website that's called Have an Idea. It's up at the top. So if you want to contribute some ideas, or you want to, you know, let Kermit know that, you know, hey, we want to see the t-shirts, then, you know, head over to PrepperPeteAndFriends.com and click that Have an Idea link and let them know. And while you're there, you know, you got to subscribe to his mail list. And he, like you said, he won't spam you, but he wants to let you know when, you know, new stuff comes out. We'll definitely be a part of that. And anytime we get any notices, we'll make sure we, you know, carve out some time there to, you know, share with our audience, because dude, you've got a great, great idea. And it's one of those things that I think can definitely boost and help promote, because, you know, we talk about like Youth on the Air, and we talk about, you know, the learning center that Good Games do, and but they're targeting very much older kids and in general, like, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. But there's nothing really for the young groups. And so this is a perfect avenue to be able to kind of open up the conversations, like we said, with, you know, those that are in the ham community that can share with their grandkids and, you know, family members and stuff like that, and start going, you know, it's just something really cool.
And I leave copies in the dentist office. And
dude, that's awesome. I love those little things. Like, this is just like leaving our little hammies everywhere, but you're leaving something way cooler. Way cooler. Awesome. Well, cool. You got anything more you want to throw in there, Paul?
No. So, I mean, obviously we could keep talking for hours and hours. You know, we didn't even discuss your military service or the fact that you're a chaplain and how you got into being a chaplain and why you wanted to be a chaplain.
We have to have you back. We want to talk about that.
Yeah. Like I said, you definitely got to come back. I very much enjoy talking with you. I love what you're doing and how you're doing it. And so any way that we can be supportive of you in that endeavor, you got it. Full support.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. You got the full backing of the Live Free and Ham community, sir. So, you know, no worry there. We'll keep promoting you, and we'll add you to our website so folks can learn more about you. And we'll continue to live free and ham and pota pam on.
Ham on.
Yeah. Totally. So kind of wrap it up. How can folks reach out to you if they want to reach out to you, Kermit?
Obviously the Prepper Pete and Friends.com. We've got a Facebook page at facebook.com/Prepper Pete and Friends. I know that's an obvious one. And I'm at Prepper Pete on X. And so that's kind of a new area, but the fastest way to get to me is probably would be Facebook Messenger, in all honesty, just because that one will ping my phone. I know Facebook's for old people these days, but that would be the best way.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll make sure we get those links in the show notes there so you can reach out to them if you're busy listening to us on the go there. But as always, you know, from all of us here, you know, at Live Free and Ham, we thank you guys for being part of this great community. We will continue to, you know, bring on great content like this because, you know, this is just something totally awesome. And, you know, maybe, you know, your club is looking for ways to kind of connect to your, you know, communities and kids and younger generation, then you need to head over and pick up a couple of books for your club. I mean, it's not a super big expense. And I know there are clubs out there, and ours included, that buy the big encyclopedia, ARL, like, you know, books that are $250. Buy a ton of these books and they will go way farther than, you know, you could ever imagine. And you're helping a great, you know, author here. What the heck is my freaking camera doing today? I don't care at this point. I'm just, you know, going to fight this to the day's end. It just like seems to want to crawl up here. Anyway, so let me drag this down here. All right. We're going to win this war. All right. So, you know, again, thank you again for supporting our show. We appreciate all of the listeners, all those guys and gals that are part of the community. And you can continue this conversation over in our Discord. And that URL is over at livefreeandham.com. It's in the footer notes. So come be part of the Discord. Come be part of this conversation. We're going to post all of these links and this show in the Discord so we can, you know, continue to spread the information that we all you know, have learned here tonight. And as always, you know, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and catch all of our awesome content there. And like as always, you can reach out to us via our SMS link located in the show notes. You can send us a voicemail now at 978-233-1142. And eventually that number is going to become so popular in a book for future reference that we're going to have to actually, you know, put a spam, you know, we'll have to put some receptionist in there to be able to answer all the phone calls. So, you know, and you can always support our show, like I said, by heading over to our Patreon and hear all of our great content there that gets early released and become part of our Patreon community. because there's some great stuff there. And we'll maybe doing some future giveaways of some of these books as well. So if you want to maybe get your hands on there, just check that stuff out. And as always, you can head over to livefreeandham.com. Check out all of our show information, our latest swag, and contact info is always over there. And as always, we appreciate you guys. And thanks again for listening from all of us at Live Free and Ham. 73.
73.
73.